No, I'm not for sale.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for joining me here in the middle of the week here on a Wednesday. Good to get back to you. Got some interesting stuff to talk about today. Got a little bit of Colts news, and also we're going to go through the AFC South, kind of a quarter review, if you will, on the division. And we'll be doing that with Chris Blystone here in just a few minutes. But right now, let's get into some of the Colts news that's going on around Indianapolis, around the team and everything else. The Colts signed Mike Person and guard Kyle Callis yesterday, as well, and placed Deshaun Bond on injured reserve. I think that was obviously something that we knew was going to happen, especially with his injury and how bad it was going to be. They also released Sean Spence, which I just don't understand this. I've hammered on this several times about how bad Bostic is in coverage. There's a couple things I've seen recently. I haven't been able to do the All-22 right now, but it is just, you know, so many people are putting out stuff that are showing Bostic in just terrible position defensively, especially against the pass, and they get rid of a guy who can cover. And I continue to not understand that. There must be some rhyme or reason to it, but I don't get it. The Colts also signed tight end Evan Bayless to the practice squad and placed tight end Marcus Lucas on the practice squad injured list. So a couple moves going on right now, you know, with the back end of the roster kind of stuff. And, you know, obviously, you know, I think it looks, unless we see, you know, some great improvement in Ryan Kelly's status, it looks like, you know, that they could end up having Adam Redmond at center again this week, which is not going to be good for the Colts in any way, shape, or form. As far as I'm concerned, it just doesn't, you know, he's not terrible. He certainly isn't very good, though. I mean, it's just something that the Colts are just going to have to deal with until Ryan Kelly gets back. Hopefully that's, you know, at the latest next week. So we'll have to see kind of how that goes, but I'm just not, you know, and a lot of the things that are going on with the Colts right now have a lot to do with their front five on that offensive line, obviously, but most importantly, it has to do with the center and the left guard. Now, I've talked about this a little bit on Twitter, I've talked about this a little bit in some other places, but there was a comment today in Stampede Blue, somebody was asking, you know, what happened to LaRaven Clark, but, you know, if I'm the Colts right now, I don't understand how LaRaven Clark at right tackle and moving Joe Haig to left guard doesn't improve this line. I don't understand how that's possible, considering Haig has had a lot of struggles at right tackle, and obviously Vunovich is one of the weakest links, if not the weakest link, in the Colts offense right now. And that can't continue to happen. Whether that, you know, does or doesn't, I don't know. But that's something the Colts definitely have to get figured out, and they have to get it figured out pretty quick. Now, on another note, obviously we've heard that Andrew Luck is expected to be back in some capacity this week for practice. What that entails, you know, we really won't know until today at the end of the day, and we've kind of heard, you know, what Andrew's doing. Is he just going to take snaps? Is he going to throw like little 5-yard, you know, things to coaches and stuff just to get his arm motion back in practice? And, you know what, we don't know. We don't have the faintest clue. We'll all have to wait until Wednesday. We'll talk about it Friday for sure, how what he's done the past couple days by then. And, you know, we'll all see. But I think that we should all expect Luck back in a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks at the most now. So, I mean, we've got at least a timetable, right? Finally, after months and months of hearing Pagano and even Ballard say there's no timetable, now it appears there's some sort of a timetable, you know, at least an idea. I don't want to say that they're, you know, going to say we want him back by this time, but they're shooting for a specific point. You can tell that. I'm sure we'll hear that from, you know, some of the questions that come from the local reporters and stuff like that after practice, that I'm sure we'll get some sort of an idea of what's going on with all of that. So that's good news. I mean, we need him back. Brissett's filled in pretty nicely. He's done a pretty good job. He certainly is not Andrew Luck, and the Colts need him back pretty desperately. Another guy they need back desperately is Marlon Mack. I wrote something on Stampede Blue about that earlier today or yesterday, and they definitely need him to be back. But they also need not just him back in the lineup. They need him to be who they thought he was going to be. There is, a need for that speed. There's a need for that vision. There's a need for that burst up the middle on the outside. His ability to cut it out, to break it in, and to be able to break big plays open, like through screen passes and just big playability. It's what he needs, or that's what this team needs, and he's able to bring that. Now, whether he actually does, complete that and do that, then, that's another story. We'll have to see what happens, but the Colts definitely need him in the backfield. He's the only guy that offers that other, trait. There isn't a guy in the backfield right now that does it. Jones doesn't, Turbin doesn't, and Gore certainly doesn't. So they need Mac bad. He's definitely the diversity that this backfield needs bad, bad, bad. Another thing that kind of caught my ear, and I've talked about this on the podcast and several other places, but Terrell Basham, not impressing Chris Ballard, apparently, from everything that we've seen and heard. And, we try to hope, that, hey, Chris Ballard's going to be, or I'm sorry, Terrell Basham is going to be, he's a guy who's going to learn. He's going to get better, and he's going to develop a little more of a pass rush. He's going to deliver, a little bit more of what we need from that guy, whether it's setting the edge or something, but he's not doing that. He's not getting any pass rush, and he's not getting a lot of snaps right now. They don't have a lot of belief in him. In fact, like I said, Ballard on his radio show this past week said, we need to see more out of Basham. We have little flashes, but not enough. He said that on Monday night, we need him to grow up and continue to show us he can be the pass rusher we saw in college. And right now he's not there. He's not where we need him to be. I mean, I don't think he could have said it any better. I've talked about him after the first couple games. I've written up some film work on him, and he's just not coming. He's just not, the guy that they thought. He's not the guy I thought. I don't know what the deal is. I don't read too much into the he needs to grow up quote. But, I mean, maybe it is. Maybe he's just, maybe it is a little more about other things than just football with him. Maybe it's, he doesn't have, any sort of, development, and he's not having any sort of retention in what they're teaching him. And that's a major issue. That's scary. I mean, that, he could be ultimately a bust pick because he hasn't been able to complete the essential things of then taking this from the film room, taking this from the practice field, and turning it into a quality product on the field in a game. And he's not doing that. He's not terrible, like I said, but he's not. I mean, they expected him to be significantly above where he's at right now. There's no two ways about it. I don't know how that you could assume that they haven't. He simply has not delivered, and the Colts need him to deliver. They've gotten great production. They're getting great production out of Simon and Sheard now, even after the first week looked pretty bad. He's considerably better than he was then. But they need a guy. That's why the defense is wearing down so much. Himself, even Mingo, although I've been pretty impressed with what Mingo brings with his speed and his moves, his pass rush moves and stuff. But these guys aren't getting, they're getting 10% snaps, 12%, 15% of the snaps on defense a game. That front seven, the outside linebackers, even the back end on the in the secondary is getting just worn down. I think a lot of that had something to do with, or I think that the end result in Seattle had a lot to do with that. They didn't have Quincy Wilson to be able to come in and spell either one, Rashawn Melvin or Vontae Davis. Even Nate Hairston, he played pretty well, but he had some major missed tackles in that game. And I think that you have to assume that he was probably pretty worn down too. I mean, they played a ton of nickel in that game, and there's just a lot of things that this team isn't doing well as far as rotation, and a lot of it's because some of this back end guys are hurt, and a lot of it's because some of these back end guys just aren't producing when they're on the field, and the Colts need that out of their depth. That was one of the things we continued to talk about this year. Depth. Do we have depth? It looks like it, but do we have it? After the first week, it didn't look like we even had starters, let alone depth. Now it looks like we've got starters, and some of this these depth pieces have got to show up. They've got to do it. And Terrell Basham's one of the biggest ones. He's one of the biggest offenders. He needs to be a guy who can go out there, set the edge if he needs to. He needs to be able to go out there, and he has to develop more than a freaking bull rush. It's embarrassing to me. You've got a guy who's a rookie in the league. Granted, rookie, but don't take that as stupidity. That's his rookie status is simply on development and how much he's going to develop and improve. That doesn't mean that he can't learn another freaking pass rush move. The dude has one. It's a bull rush. That's it. Why does he only have one? Is he refusing to use what he's being taught in practice, or does he just simply not get it? He cannot develop it. Is he not physically able to? And I have a hard time believing that, because I've seen him use other ones in college. This dude either thinks the game's too big for him, or he just isn't providing, and he's just not putting on the field what he's learning in practice. I don't know which, but it is embarrassing. He has to come through. He has to grow up, and maybe that's what Bauer was talking about. So a little bit of news, nothing major. The Andrew Luck's kind of major. But, here in just a minute, we're going to get with Chris Blystone from Stampede Blue. We're going to go through the AFC South, kind of look at a quarter review of what to expect in the upcoming weeks and months of the NFL season. It looks, kind of bad right now. Colts at 1-3, and, they're behind, and a lot of the, Tennessee's flashed. Texans have flashed, and Jaguars have flashed. The Colts haven't really flashed. They've won, but they haven't really flashed. If you guys hang on just a minute, we're going to have a quick break, and then I'll be back with Chris Blystone right after this. And we are back with Chris Blystone. Chris, what's going on, man?
Well, not a whole lot. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, we are here on the rest of this show to talk about the AFC South. Kind of after the first quarter break here, and we've got maybe a slim idea of what to expect from not only the Colts but the rest of the division. Chris, you got something coming out today that is basically an AFC South review. What are some of the things that have been sticking out to you about the rest of the division?
Well, the thing that I think is probably the most notable is that this is a division we expected to be on the rise. And I think there's probably some reason to think that might be true, but it's also a division where right now everybody is playing who can try the hardest not to win the division.
Right.
And they're all winning at that game. The Colts have played pretty poorly, and we're absolutely right in the thick of this division still, one game back, and really at an advantage even then, because we have all these teams who have played a divisional game and lost a divisional game at this point, where we haven't played any. So if we were to clean up all our division games and, take care of our business on the way out, we should have a pretty easy time of running away with the division. Doesn't mean we're going to do that, but we're set up very well based on how the other teams in the division have played. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You kind of expected some teams to do a little better than they've done so far.
Yeah, basically everybody but us is 2-2. We're 1-3. One of the telling stats, as far as I'm concerned, there's several. If we get into specifics as far as how a team's running or passing or something like that, tells a more in depth story, of course. But looking at like points for and points against, the Jaguars are basically the best. If you look at just that on either side, the Jaguars right now are the best team in the division. When you combine the two, 109 points for, 74 points against. The Texans are 110 points for, 88 against. So, if you take both offense and defense together, I guess that's why the Jaguars are better off. But Titans are 100 points for, 126 against. The Colts, not good. 71 points for, 30 points almost underneath, like, number two in there. And 136 points against. Significantly less points for and significant 10 points more than the Titans, but almost 50 more than the Texans or Jaguars have given up. That is disgusting. What the hell do we do with that?
Well, it's very frustrating, and I don't think it's totally surprising. We've seen what the defense has looked like, and it's been kind of what we expected it would be. A little bit boom or bust. We knew we were going to make big plays, and we've made some big plays on defense. We've seen our rookies step up and, you know, create turnovers. We've seen John Simon looking good and creating some turnovers and things like that. We've seen that happen, and it's been good. But we've also seen big plays deep. A lot of it's been in off-coverage kind of situations where we think maybe we could probably put some of that blame on, you know, on switching to that prevent-style defense, and that's not maybe our specialty. But, you know, we haven't played great across the board all the time. You know, we haven't been able to put a complete game together. We have, let's see, in the last three games, we've scored 9 total points in the second half.
Yeah.
That just can't happen.
60-9 in those last three games in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, it's not gonna fly. But one of the things that's interesting is, you know, and you know, this is something I'm hearing a lot of people say this, and it's probably something that you're going to hear all this week. You're going to hear all about how Deshaun Watson is just the best thing to hit the NFL since Andrew Luck. And, you know, I'm not going to say definitively that's true or not true, but I want to temper the expectations a little bit and maybe, you know, tell everybody to slow down on that particular assessment of him. And, you know, we're going to be facing him and we're going to get to see what he looks like up close and personal, and he may be in this league for a really long time. But I watched the Titans and the Texans game, and the score is not indicative of like a performance where a quarterback just dominated. And, you know, we've all watched games where the quarterback clearly just dominates the competition. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that you've watched Aaron Rodgers take over a game, or you've watched Tom Brady take over a game. We've watched Peyton Manning take over a game many times.
Right.
And Andrew Luck's done the same. And, you know, we've seen it happen. We know what it looks like when that happens. And that's not what I saw. I saw the Texans they just outplayed the Titans, quite frankly. A lot of the things that I saw in the Titans' defense reminded me of watching some of the stupid things the Colts have done, where they just got beat in, you know, in seam routes, and they just, you know, there's one big DeAndre Hopkins push-off that definitely probably should have been called, and it was a big play, you know, that really, I don't think that was the fault of the defender, but there were some things that happened that made Deshaun Watson look really good, and I want to see if he can do it consistently. I'm not totally convinced that he's just this amazing force that has now solved all of the Texans' problems. I think we're probably going to see this coming week when they play the Chiefs a little bit more what we might expect from him, how he plays against big competition. Blake Bortles had a couple games where he looked pretty decent too, and I think we all can agree that he's not the answer to the Jaguars' problem. So, right. I don't know what to say. I don't think one game is going to be enough for us to decide that he's as good as we think he is. And that Texans team still lost to the Jaguars. They barely squeaked out a win against the Bengals. And, you know, did play competitively against the Patriots, but the Patriots have the worst defense in the league right now, worse than ours. And, right. You know, they're not putting things together on offense. They're not the same Patriots team, and we can't just say it's the Patriots. So they get credit for, you know, almost or anything. I mean, this is a Texans team that is going to be competitive, and they have been for a while. But if they're the best this division has to offer, it's still a winnable division very, very much for the Colts.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying about Deshaun Watson. In fact, I, you know, totally agree with you on some regard on, you know, kind of what he's bringing. But we see that he's good enough to be playing to be doing what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? He's making really nice passes. He's throwing in some tight windows. He's showing that he has like very much a possibility to be a really good quarterback in this league and to be, you know, the answer to the Texans' woes from quarterbacks for so long. But the other thing is he is a rookie, and this does happen occasionally with rookies. I mean, look at, and I'm not saying that Dak Prescott's taken a big fall from last year, but he's not the guy he was last year. You know, Deshaun Watson may be a similar guy in that. He teams haven't gotten the playbook on him more or less yet. You know, he's still improving. Sure. He's still taking some people by surprise. And like I said, I think he's a really good quarterback. But I agree with you to the extent that, let's hold off before we crown him. You know, I don't think that anybody's wanting to do that necessarily. But a lot of people are excited about what he brings. And I'll be honest with you, if I was a Texans fan, I'd be jumping for crazy joy too. Because, you know, finally, think about the Titans. They believe they've got their quarterback. And Mario's been up and down already this year and, you know, being injured last week. But he is ultimately the answer to the Titans issues at quarterback until he basically isn't. He either has to completely fall off a cliff or just continue to get injured and not be healthy long enough to be the answer. But they've got an answer there in Houston now, like I said, until he basically proves that he's not the answer. I think Watson will be okay. I think he's got some staying power. But the only team that doesn't have a quarterback right now is the Jaguars, you know, and that is something that is going to get them. And, the Patriots defense, as far as scoring, what they've allowed is not worse than the Colts. The Colts are giving up more points than anybody else in the league, 34 a game. But the rest of them, I mean, they're giving up almost 100 more yards, or I'm sorry, about 75 more yards per game. 5 yards more, five more first downs per game, and you know their third down percentage is even worse. So I mean they've got a lot of things that the Colts are better at than them, but point wise, and that's ultimately what counts in the league is points. You can give up all the yards you want, but if you can't hold the team to a field goal, you're going to give up a ton of points. The Colts are doing that, but we're talking division now. But there really is an issue in Jacksonville with not having that quarterback. I'm sorry about jumping back around here, guys, but you know how it is. Once you start talking, you just, you get off on a tangent and then you forget what you were saying and you go back to it. That's kind of the story of every single podcast I've ever done. So never come in with a plan. Always come in with, just what you want to say. But look, the Jaguars have, as far as I'm concerned, they've got possible 4 straight losses here on the rest of their up until midseason here. The October 8th, they're at the Steelers. That's a loss unless the Steelers play like they did a couple weeks ago, and that's just not going to be conducive to them winning. But the Jaguars have that good defense. Their offense has shown that it can do stuff, but really, it's terrible. There's a quarterback situation is awful there. And, when you're going up against the Steelers, they do have the Rams at home, and the Rams have been fantastic. And then they come to Indianapolis October 22nd. They've got their bye. But if we get to their fourth game, in the middle of the season, which all three of the other teams in the division, by the way, have a bye between now and week 8, aside from the Colts. But the Bengals – or I'm sorry, between now and week 9. But the Bengals – those guys will go into Jacksonville on November 5th. So the Colts have, the Jaguars have possibly 4 losses here if the Colts can play. The Colts probably are the ones that have the least opportunity to win that game, I would say, wouldn't you, right now? As far as those other 4 teams that they play?
I would definitely say, that depends because. Are you including the Bengals in that group, I guess?
Yeah. But the Bengals have a lot more weapons, and they have a starting quarterback playing. I mean, look, if Andrew Luck's healthy, maybe not.
Yeah, that's the wild card. Is that around the time I would expect that Andrew is hopefully going to be back.
Me too. And I hope so, because I'm going to the game.
It'd be much more fun to watch if he's back.
It will.
But I think that if Andrew is back... I mean, they have a very good passing defense, and it could be one of those ugly games. If it's his first game back, it might be ugly because if his timing is off, they have a very good passing defense. And so it might be one of those games where you go, maybe we don't want Andrew Luck back just yet. But I'd say you're probably right. I mean, I'd say of those 4 games, that's probably the easiest game to win. I think the Rams, based on the way they've played, I mean, they made us feel bad playing them in week 1, but since... you should feel better about the way that game looked because they've done it. They've consistently played well.
Yeah.
They've looked like a good team. And, like you said, the Steelers would expect that to be a loss. You can't hand a loss to the Jets. And I know the Jets have maybe outpunched their weight a little bit already so far. But if you can't hand a loss to the Jets and you can't make those throws like Bortles just couldn't make in that game, I don't see how you go into a game at the Steelers and get a win, and then you've got the Rams at home, and I agree. I think it's very easy to see how they could have 4 losses right there, and that puts them in big trouble in the division because I don't think that the Texans or the Titans are going to stumble quite that badly.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that for right. I mean, they, you know, and again, we've been talking about Watson, but, you know, since he kind of really got it under his skin after that first game that he had under his belt, they've looked considerably better, I think. I think O'Brien really put together, you know, a nice game plan for him. And let's look at their next four, too. They have the bye in week 7. So they go Chiefs, Browns in weeks 5 and 6. They have their bye in week 7. They're at Seattle as well on October 29th. And the Colts, you know, then we go to Houston November 5th. So, okay, again, Colts in this section of four games for the Texans. The Chiefs, I would assume that the Chiefs have that win. But, you know, the Texans have played the Chiefs pretty well in the past. So that might be, you know, I think the Chiefs should win that. They're the best team in the league right now. But you just never know. That could be their kryptonite, you know. But they've got the Browns. Then after that, the Seahawks are tough, obviously. And, you know, the Colts. But again, Colts and, you know, the Browns are, you know, fighting for the easiest game on their schedule in the next 4 weeks, too. So what do you think with these guys? I mean, because, you know, they're 2-2 as well. They, you know, got smoked by the Jaguars. They got a win against Cincinnati. They got barely nicked out by the Patriots. And then they just completely routed the Titans last week. And, you know, they've got another 2-2 set up here. I mean, it kind of looks like, depending on, I would assume we got Andrew Luck back by week 9, but is everything else in order? So it's still hard to gauge the Colts right now. But what do you see with that section of games for them?
Well, you know, looking at, you know, like I said, I think you're probably right about the Chiefs. I will say, I don't want to come across like I'm down on Deshaun Watson. I think he very well could be a very good option. I mean, I did think he was impressive. And if he can have some consistency through these games, especially against the Chiefs and the Seahawks, those are both good defenses. If he can play well against them, that's going to go a long way to convincing everybody that they have what the Texans think that they have. And the thing is, he really needs to do, and I remember watching Hard Knocks and the Buccaneers talked about this with Jameis Winston. He needs to do the same kind of thing Jameis Winston does. He's got a good team around him. He doesn't have to overdo it. He just needs to not hurt them, because he doesn't have to win games. They've been close in so many of these games and just haven't had a quarterback who could even give them anything. And that defense is vicious. They're going to put them in a place to win almost every game they're in. So he doesn't have to overdo it. And so, like you said, if they game plan well, if they could sneak out of here 2-2, if they could sneak out of here with one loss and maybe, you know, go into, I think probably that loss would be the Chiefs and maybe go into Seattle and sneak out with a win. If they could do that, you know, that's going to go a long way to helping them. I'm pretty confident that you're going to have Andrew Luck back, and I feel good about his chances of going into Houston doing some damage at that point. So that's very likely where the Colts are going to, you know, they're going to have to take care of business. But how many times have we said that against the Texans and they haven't gotten it done? So, this is not the same team. You know, there is some defensive play on this side of the ball. I think a lot of our defensive struggles have been because our offense hasn't produced, especially late, and stuck them on the field a lot. But there have been other issues that haven't had to do with the offense. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how these teams handle the next few weeks, because it could leave the Colts completely in it, and it could completely wipe them out of it, because, you know, we're kind of along for the ride as of right now. If they don't start taking care of their business, it doesn't matter how much the other AFC South teams lose. We're not going to go anywhere. So,
yeah. And this, you know, this Texans defense is funny because they really, I mean, obviously in the first couple of weeks, they looked like they were struggling, you know, to really get their feet underneath them, but they've kind of done it in the past couple. But, you know, I just wonder, you know, could the defense be good enough to stop the Chiefs? Maybe. They're definitely good enough to beat the Browns. The Browns would have to have a miracle, I think, to beat just about anybody in the league right now. But the Seahawks, I have a hard time seeing the Texans beat the Seahawks. But with that defense, it's possible if they can keep the offense under wraps. I mean, I think that Watson will definitely have some turnovers in Seattle. but it's hard to gauge, you know, how bad Seattle's offense could be, you know, by then. And then when you look at the Colts game, it's such a flip of the coin right now to do that. And we'll go into those a little bit more. But if you were to guess these four games, what do you say?
I'm going to say they're getting out of there 2-2. Based on where we're at right now, I'm not willing to say the Colts win that game, at least on the road. I think maybe they split with the Texans, and I'm going to give them the home game later in the season when they've got Andrew Luck back and healthy. But I'm going to say that's a loss to the Chiefs and a loss to the Seahawks. It's going to probably be a beatdown of the Browns. Browns, I feel bad for Browns fans, but another beatdown for the Browns. And, and I think that I don't know if it would necessarily be a beatdown. Even if Andrew's back for that game, I think he'll still be rusty, and that's a good defense. We have so many things we don't know. It's really hard to predict what that looks like because we don't know what our offensive line is going to be at that point. We don't know whether, you know, Marlon Mack's going to be back and healthy. And able to contribute in some sort of way. We don't know what Andrew's arm's going to look like at that point. There's just so many things we don't know that even beyond the normal difficulty of making predictions, it's tough to have any idea. So I'm saying 2-2 probably to get out of there at that point. And
I'm riding with you on that. That's about where I'm going to have them. I think that's an intelligent bet. Now, they could come out of that 4-0 and it would be tremendous, and they would be like clearly – the favorite to win the division if they were to come out of that 6-2, but I think they'll end up being 4-4. I agree with you. I think they'll be right there in the middle, but you just never know. Let's move on to the Titans here. Obviously the Titans have been up and down as well, you know, only getting 16 on the board against the Raiders. They smoked the Jaguars. Then they beat the Seahawks. I mean, granted it was at home, but still they beat the Seahawks, and it's a different story playing the Seahawks on the road or at home for sure. I mean, the Colts beat the Seahawks the Colts beat Seahawks in 2013. Titans definitely have the big uglies up front to hold back the Seattle, you know, defense, and they did, and they put off threw out some really big gains and touchdowns in that one. But and then they just, like I said earlier, they just get manhandled and smoked against the Texans. But they have a pretty favorable schedule coming up. This Tennessee Titans team, as weird as they've looked so far, and after getting blown out, look, they're at the Dolphins, they play the Colts at home, they're at the Browns, and then they play the Ravens at home. And that's their next four. They've got the bye in week 8. But you know what? The Titans could very well come out of this 4-0.
Yeah, I don't think that'd be a surprise at all. You know, and that's part of the reason why, as puzzling as that game was, if you're a Titans fan, you still got to look at this and go, all right, well, that wasn't great, and we don't want to see that ever again. But you got to feel pretty good about where they're at, given this stretch of schedule. This is a pretty tough schedule to start with. The Raiders haven't proven to be maybe as good as we thought they could be this season, but losing Derek Carr is not going to do them any favors. But they were, at that point, still, you know, looked like a pretty solid match, and it's not what you want with 16 points on the board there, but, you know, it's not totally surprising that they might lose that game. They put the B down on the Jaguars and then get the surprise win. I would have probably pegged them for 2-2 anyway. I would have said they lost against the Seahawks and won at the Texans, but regardless, they come out of that, you know, not horrible, and then they go to the Dolphins, who have looked just, I mean, they look terrible, and then they're going to play the Colts, and they're going to play us still at a time where, you know, they're getting us where you might have Andrew back, you might not, and we're going to have some guys coming back, but a lot of people rusty. We don't, you know, we still don't know what that's going to look like. And then you get the Browns and the Ravens, and Ravens have looked lost, and then the Browns have looked like the Browns. So, yeah, you got to be excited about this little stretch of schedule to kind of get your house in order. And if they're still stumbling through this section, then you can start to really worry. The thing that would make me concerned is one of the things that I think this reminds me of is some of the early years with Andrew Luck, where we were sort of outplaying what we really should have been. And, you know, we would have those kind of puzzling losses where you would just go, I don't really understand where that came from. I thought we were making some progress. And it kind of reminds me of that a little bit, where they just have some games where you think, got to show up and look better. And they've got to show they can be consistent and make some of those, you know, those changes and be better. And with Mariota kind of getting nicked up a lot, it's going to be really hard to be consistent that way. So, I mean, if he's not healthy and they have to move forward with, I know they just signed Brandon Weeden, and how horrifying would it be to lose to Brandon Weeden again for Colts fans? I mean, the fact that we've lost to him at all is horrifying enough, but, you know, if Mariota misses time and Weeden has to start, for everybody but the Colts, that is really good news. Yeah.
I think the Colts could definitely pull it out if they ended up, even if Mariota doesn't start, the Colts could definitely pull that out. I definitely think I trust our backup against anybody they can throw in there as a backup. I just
absolutely
do. So I'm not worried about that. My thing is I definitely don't think Andrew Luck's playing that game. It's a Monday night game. I don't think they're going to play him on a Monday night game when they follow up the next week on a Sunday and at 1 o'clock nonetheless. So you're basically, you know, shrinking that week. My guess is that Luck is back week 7 against the Jaguars. But, I mean, that's just me thinking, you know, they don't want him on that short of rest. It's only one day. But granted, it's a short day because they're playing at night on Monday night and you're playing the first game. Now, if they're playing at 1 o'clock, for some reason on a Sunday and they were playing at 8:30 in week 6, I would say that it's possible, but I still wouldn't assume as much. So, but look, we're looking at this Titans schedule and I don't know, man. I'm going to, you know, I want to say 4-0, but I'm trying to be realistic with, we don't know what's going on with Mariota here, but I'm still going to say 3-1.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, the Dolphins get a win. You know, the Colts game, we don't know. It's up in the air. I think the Browns is a win, but the Ravens could show up. One of those teams, you know, they got a solid defense, and they have those moments kind of down this season too. I don't know. It could be one of those, you know, one of those teams show up and make an impact. I mean, heck, the Browns could do that at some. They got to win something, right? Occasionally, they're going to win a game. I'm expecting if you have a performance like this against the Texans, I'm going to hedge my bets that you're going to have a flat performance through the next quarter of the season. If one of those games you're going to do something that's going to lose you a game. So I'd say 3-1 is probably reasonable, and 3-1 ought to be the minimum. I mean, if they lose, you know, more than one game through that stretch, they ought to be pretty frustrated because they've really missed an opportunity on an easy patch of their schedule.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think, even if Mariota is out, I don't think he's going to be out that long to where it'll affect that much of, you know, their schedule. Like I said, Colts are the only ones without a bye. Here's the Colts schedule. This Sunday at the 49ers, week 6 at the Titans, week 7 home against the Jaguars, week 8 at the Bengals. So, three things here. Colts are home against the Jaguars and Niners. And then their only travel is against the Titans and Bengals. Does that make any difference to you at all?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. Maybe minimal.
It should
but
be.
I'm just saying.
Looking at that schedule.
Travel.
Yeah, I mean, the short travel is nice, but looking at that schedule, I'm thinking, you know, for me, as a Colts fan, I think that should be 3-1 or nothing less. Realistically, I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Right.
But the 49ers ought to be money in the bank. That's they're going to be bringing, you know, Peyton Manning's going to be in the house. They're going to be honoring him, putting in the statue. If they don't win that game, you know, it's such a travesty if they can't win a game, you know, at home against the 49ers. Now, I know this is not the same 49ers team. You know, you're dealing with a new head coach who, you know, he's had them looking good, and I get it. But you got to take care of that game. And then going on the road at the Titans, I think they ought to be able to beat the Titans. They've had so much success against them, the divisional team. But you know, I don't feel like that's going to be, you know, a guaranteed win. But at home against the Jags and at the Bengals, those ought to be wins. In my mind, at that point, you're going to have Luck back. The Bengals, you know, haven't been able to do much on offense. And they just haven't been very impressive at all this season. I think that should be 3-1. I'm thinking it's probably more like 2-2.
Yeah, and I'm bored with you with that because look, I believe that Jacoby Brissett and the Colts the way they're built. Although let me bounce this off of you. Do you think that they should put LaRaven Clark back at right tackle, move Joe Haig to left guard to get Vunovich out of there?
I absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, wholly apart from the fact that, and somebody brought this up in one of our message boards, and I actually, I would love to find this out, but you know, somebody asked the question: Did Vujinovic step on Ryan Clark's foot too? Is he the one who injured Ryan Clark's foot in practice? Because this dude is constantly stepping on his feet, and I made a joke about it that, you know, he's the kind of guy who was always stepping on his date's feet at the high school dance or whatever. But the guy, he is not contributing in a positive way, and his footwork is all kinds of crazy and causing problems. And you know, it's not like Deshaun Bond was, you know, the second coming of, you know, of Jeff Saturday or something like that. But right. You know, he was a contributor, and yeah, he wasn't perfect, but I mean, given where he came from, he was doing excellently for what he was. And you know, so to lose somebody like that because of that sort of circumstance, and I don't know if that's fixed from, this is the long. I don't know. I don't know enough about the offensive line ins and outs and how Raven Clark looked during. I mean, I know how he looked at the end of last season, and he looked okay. So he must have had some serious regression, and they must really thought they've got something better. But I haven't seen it yet. So in my mind, get that guy out of there, shuffle things around, and you know, and get him right tackle, and yeah. I think it can't possibly make things worse.
No, and that's exactly where I'm at. It definitely can't make things worse. The only problem is that Raven Clark has a really terrible footwork too. He does finish his blocks quite a bit, but his footwork is so disastrous. And I think that's what they see in him is like, this dude's technique is trash. But you know, you also have to look at how successful he's been. You know, how is he successful at keeping the pocket clean? Is he successful at quality run blocks at the second level? You know, and that's hard to really equate, I suppose, when you look, we don't know if this guy is going to step on somebody else like Vunovic's, you know, footwork is bad or what. But I just don't think that Joe Hegg's played great at right tackle. I mean, he's been okay, but he's definitely a better guard. Hague is, and Vunovic is not a good anything, and that's kind of where I'm at, you know what I mean? And I just don't want him on the field whatsoever. They're already going to be stuck with Redmond there. Why not give him a quality guy on the left side of him at the position where you can actually help the interior line and not have him have to rely on a guy who's just been just awful so far this year? I would rather see them do that. I hope they do something back or something with that. But I'm really like kind of looking forward to the day that Denzel Good can come back, because I want to see where they put him.
Well, I want to ask you this because you probably will remember having gone to some training camp. So do you remember when it was exactly that they actually transitioned out of the Raven Clark starting at the right tackle position? Was it before or after Ryan Kelly got hurt? Because I can't remember. I know you were at training camp and saw some of that. I just don't remember what the timeline was.
Oh, it was after.
When he was actually moved.
It was after.
So I'm wondering.
Yeah, it was like the second week of the preseason.
So what I'm wondering is if when Kelly comes back, and it sounds like that might be this week, if then that maybe becomes a possibility, if somehow, they said, you know, the word compatibility or just having a cohesive unit. I wonder if having Ryan Kelly come back makes it easier to move some of those guys around, because you've got the middle solidified and, you know, the communication is better because he's there. I don't know, but I wonder if there was some correlation for that move that had to do with Kelly not being on the field. So maybe when he comes back, that makes it a possibility to move things around again. I don't know if that has anything to do with anything. Maybe it doesn't at all.
Right.
But it's interesting that he has his spot. We think we know exactly what's going to happen with Clark, that he's going to be kind of locked in as the right tackle, and then all of a sudden he's not anymore, and we don't really know. I don't know.
It definitely took a dark turn really quick, didn't it?
Yeah, and obviously complete speculation. I don't know that it has anything to do with Kelly, but it's definitely going to be a good thing having him back, and that probably gives them some more flexibility across the line entirely. So.
Yeah, and I think you're right in that regard. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. But, you know, like I said, we don't know. We don't know. I mean, if Denzel Good comes back, they obviously loved him at right tackle. They'll probably try to get him back in there, and hopefully he's ready to go when he's ready to go with no setbacks and everything else. And, you know, they can kind of reshuffle. But you know, first they need to find some sort of chemistry with the guys that they've got in there right now. And that's just, you know, that's a struggle right now. And they've got to get – Jacoby Brissett's got to let go of the ball, man. I mean, this dude's letting you know, hanging onto the ball for 4 and 5 seconds at times. And there's guys open. I mean, there are guys open. And, you know, the one that he got sacked I just went back on the second half there in the third quarter to see how the Colts really just got blown out in one quarter. But, you know, there was a dump off to Doyle within the first 2 seconds from him getting the snap, and he just looked him off. And his defender was maybe 5 yards deeper than him. It was a short, quick throw, would have been a rhythm throw, and would have been complete for 5 yards on like second down. And instead, he throws the ball, you know, he holds onto the ball, looks to the left, look to the right, bypasses a guy, and then tries to go deep, and then realizes he can't, throws the ball basically at Darryl Daniels' feet to just get rid of the ball before he gets sacked. I mean, this is, look, I said it before, and I'll keep saying it, Brissett has filled in nicely, but simple things that he's missing that he shouldn't, in my opinion, he shouldn't be missing. I don't think you can put it on the coaching staff. This has to be like his situation. I mean, because I'll be honest with you, I really like, you know, our quarterback's coach. I think that he does a good job. I mean, I don't have any issues with him. I think he's done a phenomenal job with Luck, and I think he's probably doing a phenomenal job with Brissett too. But Brissett's got to let go of the ball, man. He's got to make a decision, flip that ball, be definitive with what you're doing. Don't sit there and patty cake and second guess, because when you do, you're getting sacked. Or you're throwing an interception. Throw the ball. I mean, he has 2, maybe 3 definitive reads in each play. And he has to get, if he doesn't get that ball out by the second read, he's almost got to put it up to where either the wide receiver can catch it, or whoever his target is, or nobody can. And that's basically what he has to do. Get rid of the ball, put it in a safe spot to where it's either a catch or an incompletion, and move on. You know, but you can't hold on to the ball for 5 seconds in this league, and I don't care who they've got. I mean, even if they're only rushing 2 guys, you know, I mean, and that's the sad thing about it, is that the Seattle was only rushing 4 guys on that play, and they got to him in 4.5 seconds. What do we want from this offensive line? You know, I mean, they have some good protection on occasion, and when they give you 4 seconds to throw the ball, you better throw the damn ball, because they're just not, you know, going to be anybody else that can do that. And I mean, it's just not going to work that way. So let's get back to the Colts here on their next 4 opponents. You've got them. You think that they've got basically a high percentage of just going 2-2 with that, basically, because you think that they should win at home this week against the 49ers. The Titans, probably a loss, especially if Mariota is back, and we don't expect Andrew Luck back by then. But 7 with Luck, and presumably, you know, a win, and even possibility if he's not back. So I'm going to go with that as well. And then I think by week 8, we definitely have Luck back. And you think that the Colts win that one?
Against the Jaguars?
No, against the Bengals in week 8.
Bengals in week 8. Okay. Yeah, I think that should be a win. I don't know. The Bengals are not nearly what I thought they were going to be this year. I kind of thought they were going to be a little more competitive. And I don't know what to make of them. I mean, you look at somebody like Andy Dalton and you think, I mean, we've seen what he could be. We've seen what he can do. I mean, A.J. Green is one of the best receivers in the NFL. And they have some of the weapons. I mean, you've got Joe Mixon, and he ought to be able to be, you know, a serious weapon. I'm... I'm afraid that we're going to see what we've seen with the Colts all this season long, where all this team that is not fulfilling their expectations finds a way to do it against the Colts. You know, that's the thing that makes me nervous about that matchup, is it does seem that's our role this year, is to make all of these coaches feel better about their jobs when they come and play us. And, you know, I hope that's not the case. I mean, with Andrew there, I think things are more balanced out. You're also into the end of October with a young defensive unit that had more time to play together. And that helps. And you're getting, hopefully, if he continues to, I mean, I hope that he was not healthy, but hopefully you've got Avante Davis, who's in better health and playing better than he played this past week. And, you know, starting to get those defensive pieces, you know, cohesive. Hopefully you've got Quincy Wilson back, so you've got several corners that you can, you know, rotate in there. And, you know, I'm hopeful that all that stuff happens, but based on what we've seen so far, we've kind of been the punching bag. So it may be the week that Andy Dalton finds magic again, and maybe we get out of there with 1-3. I'm the optimist. I'm going to go ahead and give that win, but I wouldn't be at all be surprised to see us, you know, beat the 49ers and nobody else in that stretch.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go with 2-2 there. I just think that there's a high likelihood that the Colts can squeeze out two of those games. And, well, the high likelihood seems a little, you know, a little excessive, but, you know, I still think that they're going to get two of those wins, because I definitely think Luck is back for two of those games. And I think that both of those games are winnable, and I think that the San Fran game's winnable. And the Titans game, look, let's be honest, that game's even winnable too, if Luck, or not if Luck's back, but if Mariota is not. So, I mean, I think that the Colts could have really good luck there, but I think safe bet for the Colts, just because, like you said, it's hard to give these guys too much credit, because you just see what happens. It could be the simplest of things. You look good in the first half, look like crap in the second. Maybe the Colts come out, underperform in the first half, you know, in a couple games in this next quarter of the season, and come out strong in the second half, but maybe not quite enough to win the game. But basically, so far, we've got the Jaguars finishing the midway point in the season at 3-5, the Texans at 4-4, the Titans at 5-3, and the Colts at 3-5 as well. So I think that that probably isn't far off. I don't think that any team comes out of this with less than 3 wins. I really don't. Less than 3 wins on their schedule so far. So, sure. Man, this AFC South, man, Jesus, you just never know what's going to happen with these guys. The good news for this coming week, and let's talk about this for a little bit, the San Francisco 49ers are 24th in points per game allowed defensively. So that's something that we can look forward to. We can see, you know, they're basically, aside from the Rams, which the Rams have played some better teams, obviously, than the Colts since that first week. But the Rams are the only ones that are in the bottom third there of the league that the Colts have played so far. So this is ultimately, when you consider time frame, this San Francisco 49ers defense is the worst defense by point scoring, or by scoring, that the Colts have played so far this season. So, I mean, that maybe we got that going for us. The real scary part is the Shanahan offense. What can it do against, you know, this Colts defense? And this Colts defense is a little scary too. But San Francisco, again, a lot on defense, 346 yards per game. This just is not something that it looks like they're defense right now, depending on who's back for them as well, because I mean, we can't forget that they've got some guys that are nicked up too. You know, the San Francisco team giving up a lot of points. Maybe the Colts, you know, take one and put it on wax here a little bit. That would be pretty awesome, I think. You know, I mean, that they really can't do much better than that, I think. I just would love to see the Colts actually do something here. And, you know, even when you look at how impressive Shanahan is as a coach and an offensive mind, and exactly what, you know, basically exactly what they've wanted, you know, in a head coach, a guy to come in there and really do it, you know, they're not doing so hot offensively either. You know, it's they've got it. The troubles are on both sides of the ball. Most of that's probably because of Brian Hoyer, you know, being their quarterback, but they're 26th in offense with 16.5 points a game. You know, that again, that is the worst offense the Colts will see this year. And the sad part about that is the Colts are 25th in that ranking, and they're 17.8 points a game on offense. But the Bengals, you know, they're right now at 16. I expect that to completely change. And I lied. The Browns have only scored 15.5 points a game as well so far. But so the Colts have an opportunity really here to pull one out with Brissett. This defense gets healthy. Maybe Wilson comes back this week. Maybe Matt comes back this week. That would be awesome. Get a piece on each side of the ball. And then maybe Ryan Kelly comes back next week and helps this line solidify a little bit. So I just don't see a way that – I mean, I should not have said that. I don't see the Colts losing this game. I think that the Colts could lose this game easily, but I don't think the Colts are going to lose this game this week. What do you think?
Well, the biggest thing is they have to put a full game together. They haven't done it all season long. You know, we haven't played a complete game. The best we played in the second half of the game was against the Rams. Mm-hmm. We had a touchdown in the second half, and it was Marlon Mack in garbage time. So they've got to put it together offensively specifically, but defensively as well. They've got to put together a complete game. And, you know, the Browns were bad enough that we were able to whip up on them in the first half and then go to sleep and get lucky that they didn't catch up and beat us in the second half. And the 49ers might be that bad too. Maybe you can whip up on them and then, you know, just kind of coast and let them, you know, try to catch up and not quite make it. But I think you've got to take advantage of this opportunity. Like you said, this is an opponent we off beat. You got to take advantage of that opportunity and play a whole game against them and beat them at home. And you know, they have, I mean, this home field advantage here should be great. The crowd is going to be fired up. It's going to be, you know, kind of a celebratory night. And really, it's hard to imagine that they completely blow it in this way. I mean, but again, like you said, Shanahan is clever. He is going to change things around. He's going to take advantage of those matchups. If we think he hasn't noticed when the Colts are running that prevent offense, the kinds of things that are effective against it, you better believe that there's going to be opportunities he's going to take to test that. And you know, he like his dad has success running the ball, and the Colts have done well to stop that, but they need to organically stop it. Not making stupid mistakes where they decide to, you know, to mess up their outside contain in favor of bringing Sheard or somebody inside and let our inside guys do that. And, you know, they've got shifty backs that can do the same kinds of things that Shanahan likes to do. And the Colts are going to have to play a whole game. I mean, it's not given to them. And I'm a little nervous about it, to be honest with you, because I'm thinking it's one of those things where I just can't see anything worse than getting embarrassed at home by the 49ers, other than the fact that maybe that's the nail in the coffin for our coaching staff and we can stop worrying about whether they're going to be around. I don't think they lose their jobs mid-season or anything like that, but I don't know. I'm not comfortable about that game at all. I don't have that sense that it's just going to be an open and closed kind of situation.
Yeah, and it's weird for me, too, because it's not just Shanahan that worries me. It's the fact that he's got Ryan Hoyer, and Hoyer has, you know, typically been pretty effective against the Colts, which is just disgusting to even think about. You know, and, I mean, in the past, Hoyer has really played pretty well against us, and, you know, Hoyer's very, very familiar with Shanahan's style. He knows exactly what he wants. And only that, I mean, think if Hoyer doesn't come in there. Then we play against C.J. Beathard. I like C.J. Beathard, but he's ultimately the same quarterback as, you know, Brian Hoyer, as far as, you know, what he can do. And I mean, I have to believe that he can run that system pretty well, probably not, you know, as well as Hoyer, but we've got a guy with more youth and better, probably instincts than Hoyer does at this point, you know, but you've got the guy with familiarity with Hoyer. So, I mean, talk about hard to call. And like I said, if they get some guys back on defense, man, this San Francisco team could be significantly better than we've seen them play so far. But I think I'm going to have to give the Colts a win on this one, man. I mean, as much as I want to second guess it, I second guess a lot, but I think that I'm going to go with the Colts on this one. And it'll take me through the rest of the week to really definitively say it, because I want to see what's going on in injury reports and everything else. But, you know, I just, like you said, big weekend. How do the Colts lose this? My God, it would explode in Indianapolis. So I think that we're both kind of on the same page here. Very, very cautiously optimistic. But, you know, this is not one of the fun games to call just because there's so much that comes into it. You know, can Brissett legitimately grow? Can this defense legitimately grow? Can we get a couple players back? Can we play all four quarters? Man, so many questions, and almost it seems like the fundamental questions too. Not like, can so-and-so throw for 300 yards? Can so-and-so get two touchdowns? Can so-and-so get 100 yards of rushing? You know, it's not like that. It's, God, can you run the play right? Can you execute on defense? Can you tackle? You know, just simple things like that that we shouldn't be asking, you know, going into week five. But we are, and we will continue to probably if the Colts continue to play this way for long spurts of time. So, I mean, it's a rough one, but, you know, gotta hope for the Colts here. So, Chris, man, thanks for jumping on with me tonight. It was fun. Good to talk to you about AFC South in general, get a bit of a quarter review here from you. And you've got the piece coming up today. Hopefully everybody can go check that out. But you got anything else in the works or anything you want to tell anybody about?
Well, I'm actually doing a piece, and I meant to get it out last week, but I'm going to bring in, you know, what happened in this last game. I've been doing breaking down some film on Rashawn Melvin, and that's been pretty fun because he's just played out of his mind so far this season for who he is and how he's played. Really neat to get a look at. I've been enjoying looking at all these secondary players, and so I'm breaking down some film on him, and you're going to have a look. And you know, every time I'm looking at film, and I love when I'm watching film of these guys and seeing something cool that somebody else who I'm not really watching is doing. And that's so that hasn't right. always been the case with the Colts defense. Usually it's the other way around. Usually you're watching, you're like, oh, I didn't see that play. That guy screwed that up.
Right.
So it's nice to see stuff where you're watching somebody and you see someone else do something good. And, you know, so that's going to be coming. I'm not sure exactly when that's going to be out. I think I'm going to include this past game in it, and that made that particular breakdown a little uglier. But interesting to get that out there and let people take a look at how he's playing. And, you know, I think we have reason to be optimistic about this secondary. He's one of the reasons why. So.
Yeah, I agree. I hope everybody can check that out when it pops out. I'm interested to read it and check it out myself because he has been having a good first section of the season so far. And Colts definitely need what he's bringing, that's for sure. And they need everybody else to be healthy back there. So, Chris, thanks again. Everybody, make sure you guys are going to Apple Podcasts and giving us the rating and review. We are about 76 or 77 ratings right now, or reviews right now. We are going to give away the Colts jersey. Like I said, it is a youth jersey, but we're going to give it away anyways, and I've talked to you guys about that. If that's something that you don't want, then you'll have to wait until I can get the new one in. But for right now, it's a youth jersey giveaway. You can give it to your kid or, you know, or just whatever, and we'll do that. But make sure you guys go there because when we get up to 100, we got another jersey to give away. So thank you guys all for listening. Catch us on Twitter at @MDainley_NFL. Chris, what's your handle, my man?
@ChrisBlystone.
Yeah, really difficult. You guys pay attention. Chris Blystone on Twitter. And make sure you guys are checking out all Stampede Blue for all your Colts needs, information, and news. So thank you guys all for listening. I'll talk to you at the end of the week right here on the Colts Cast.